Amen. Turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter number 5. And we're going to get into our series in Esther in a couple of weeks, but we got a few. Yeah, I turned it on
already, I thought. It's your fault. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, just verify. We'll get into our Esther study in a few weeks, but we got a few other men that's going to be getting involved to preach and speak for us. Brother Matt's going to do it next week, so pray for him. And we got a few others we're going to try to see. But anyhow, 1 Peter chapter number 5. How many of you had any problems with the devil this week? Anybody? Some of you did. He said, not me, preacher. Everything's good. Well, it might be you're on the wrong side. If you never have trouble out of the devil, it's probably because you're going the same direction he is. My pastor used to say he was going to make sure the devil rode him bareback. He wasn't putting a saddle on that could make it easy for him. And I hope that we can all have that same attitude. But I do want to look at passage of Scripture here in 1 Peter 5, 8. And talk about our adversary. The Bible calls him our adversary, and he's as a roaring lion. Our adversary as a roaring lion. That's the title of my message. That description of the devil being like a lion gives us a look into the animal kingdom concerning the lion. And I want to kind of look at a few things about that tonight. If you are saved by the grace of God, before you got saved, you were going the way the devil wanted you to go. You were called, classified as a child of disobedience. You were called or classified a child of darkness before you were translated into the light, into the kingdom of his dear son. So before that, you probably had a pretty smooth road. Now, there might have been some hard things along the way, but you were going his way. When you get saved, you're no longer going his way, or you shouldn't be. And so he can't take you to hell any longer. And he can't make you comfortable on that road to hell, so he makes you uncomfortable on your journey to heaven. And he likes to devour God's people. He likes to devour people that are lost. He likes to destroy. The devil is categorized with destruction and all kind of things. But that symbolism of him being like a lion is given to us in verse 8. It gives us some commands because we need to pay attention. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in the book of Job, and this is, of course, if you've heard the story about the life of Job, there was a desire by Satan, even when Peter was mentioned, that one time Jesus said Satan desired to sift Peter like wheat, like beat him through a screen and take the shaft and the chaff and the shell of the wheat and just beat it until it grinds up to powder, until you separate the skin of the wheat versus that which you can make into bread. That sifting process, man, that don't sound too fun. But that's what the devil wanted to do to Peter. And in the book of Job, we find that the scripture says in Job 1:6, now there was a day when the sons of God, this means angels, they came to present themselves before the Lord. And they may have been going to get orders. They may have been going to do something else. But that is given in the scripture there. And the Bible says, and Satan came also along among them. He came also among them. Satan's already got his name Satan, no longer Lucifer, already been kicked out of heaven, already done and acted his rebellion. But he's trying to sneak in there with the other angels and come and have a dialogue with God, and it's concerning Job. And the Bible says in verse 7, the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? So he didn't sneak up on the Lord. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And to me, when I connect that to verse 8 in 1 Peter 5 about him being a lion, you ever go, now this is the closest I ever got to a lion, is at the zoo. Now, you may have some great story where you did something with a lion or you went to Africa. I don't have those. I've been to a few zoos and seen them through the glass or either in a big area. But they're always either they're laying around tired or either they're around, pacing around, like they're agitated. They go back and forth, walking up and down. And they're wanting to devour or go after something. And so the image is given us to that there. And as the devil likes to desire to sift Peter as wheat and devour things as a lion, the scriptures tell us here that gives us that image at Job in chapter number 1. He's going to and fro and up and down, walking around. He's seeking souls. He's seeking people. He's seeking someone to aggravate or attack. The Bible says in verse 8, Peter calls him our adversary. That doesn't mean he's on your side. That means he's adversely against you. He wants to stop you, destroy you, at the very least, aggravate you. Now, some of you have felt that aggravation maybe this week. You felt the adversity, the devil trying to discourage you or attack you. But the scripture also tells us that he has power to tempt. In Luke 4, I don't know if you want to turn some of these places. Excuse me, Luke chapter number 4, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This is Satan in the time of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me to whomsoever I will give it. From the context of that scripture, the devil has temporary power on this earth to tempt people. He has temporary power to do things to oversee part of this world. Part of this world is his kingdom. And he's called the little god, the little G-O-D of this world, the prince of darkness. So Jesus is tempted by Satan. And we find here, when you look at the lion is what? He's called the king of the jungle. When it comes to this earth right now, not too many people love God, think about God, and they don't acknowledge God as the King of Kings and Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on any given day, you can feel the oppression and the darkness, and it feels like the devil's king of this world. Now, I'm not saying that he is. But he is the god of this world. The Bible says he's the little G-O-D of this world. He's the king of this earthly jungle. But Jesus is the king of kings and lord of lords. But that's what we're dealing with there. And when Jesus was on this earth, Satan went to him knowing he was the Son of God and tempted him personally and said, you see all these things, all these kingdoms? I can give them to you. And the thing he wanted out of Jesus was worship. He wanted Jesus to worship, bow down and worship him. And you know what? I believe biblically, doctrinally, that's what he's seeking from you and I. He wants us to worship him. But when he loses us to worshiping God and trusting Christ as our Savior, then he wants to do things to cause an adverse effect. He wants to show us that he's our enemy. He wants to hurt us and harm us. He wants to hinder us. Now, when it comes to focusing on things, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I'm combining books of the Bible together tonight, making my own. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul said this, in whom the God of this world, now we know who we're talking about, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So those in your family that are not saved and you can't understand why they won't come to church and why they won't listen to you, they're blinded. The Bible says they're blinded. Before I got saved, I was blinded. My mom and dad were blinded all the way down. That's what Satan does. He has the ability to blind people. But it's not a visual blindness as far as what you can see out of your eyes. It's the blinding of the mind. He does this in a lot of ways. Have you seen people on drugs, how they look so blinded in their mind, they can't really see what's going on? And then he says he does this lest the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's trying to blind them so they cannot see the light of the gospel. So you and I need to be a part of that light of the gospel as we are living for the Lord, because the devil's trying to blind people. When it comes to lions, they don't respect other species. They pretty much believe they can attack or have their way on anyone. Now, we know the lionesses, they do the hunting. And the male, he doesn't do much hunting. But when it comes to defense and attack, he'll go straight to the enemy. He'll go after the enemy and risk his life to the enemy. But not too many things in that animal kingdom Not too many things can just run a lion off or defeat a lion. And they also do some things that we got to keep in mind. They pray on the weak. You know what? If you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying, you're weakening yourself spiritually. You're becoming prey for the devil. And when the lions and those attack, those in big, I'm not calling us water buffalo, but you know what I'm talking about. Let's say we're all gazelles, okay? But now that feels a little bit better. Whatever group of creatures and herds that are traveling, those sickly, those that are on the outskirts of the crew, the family, that's the ones they come after. They run and grab them and devour them or attack them. So we don't want to be weak and we don't want to be behind. Amen. We don't want to be lagging behind. We need to be, we don't want to be up front or in the middle of things. Some good application for you and I concerning what the devil does to try to attack. So when you get discouraged and get depressed and you get backslidden and you start fading out, that your prime attack. You're on his radar to devour you. So when it comes to the lion is the king of the jungle. His domain is this world because Satan is the god of this world. In the book of Jude, only one chapter there in that book, the Bible gives us a little quick verse in verse 9 talking about Michael the archangel. Michael was an archangel. Gabriel was most of the time associated with being a messenger angel, giving messages. Michael was connected to a lot of scrapping and a lot of fighting and a lot of defensive things. Well, here in this passage of Scripture, it says Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, there was a confrontation between them. They disputed about the body of Moses. When Moses died, the Bible said God buried him, but no man knows where he was buried. And this reveals that there was a confrontation that Satan wanted to take Moses' body. And I believe he did that because he wanted to make the people worship where he was buried. Because he would love to still worship. Don't worship God, worship Moses. Isn't that what the world does today? Worship some creature rather than the Creator? Well, the devil was trying to steal the body of Moses. They're disputing about it. And the Bible said, even in that, Michael did not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. That's what Michael said to Satan. Which to me makes us understand, Michael knew he could not take Satan. He knew the only thing was the Word of God and the rebuke through who God was. And even Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, used the Scripture, it is written, it is written, it is written. The rebuke and the resistance comes from the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need the Word of God so we can defend against this, so we can be strong, not be on the outskirts of the group. Hopefully we can be one in the middle of the herd and say, come here, quick, get out of here, move, on delay, let's go, mama knows, hey, quit lagging behind. The devil's out there, the lion's in the bushes, he's waiting and watching and he wants to devour those who are on the outskirts, those who are behind, lagging, those who are weak spiritually. That could classify you, could classify somebody in your family, some people in our church. But there's definitely times in my life I've been that person lagging on the outskirts. And I was prime rib, amen, for the devil to attack me. And I'm glad I got my heart right. I'm glad somebody invited me to a revival. I'm glad God spoke to my heart through the preaching of His Word, through a song or through something I was reading. He spoke to my heart. And I'm going to tell you, it's important to keep yourself in the love of God. You can backslide in church. I'm really leaning towards preaching on backsliding Sunday. That's where my mind is on that so much. But if you don't keep yourself under the sound of the Word of God and reading it and praying, you can get so cold so quickly and so distant. So the lion is the king of the jungle. He's the god of this world. But also there's the nature of the lion as he, the Bible gives us this idea about him seeking. There's several scriptures that I really did not realize how much was in the script, the Bible about this. And you can write these down if you'd like to. I'm just going to kind of read some of these. But the Bible says in Proverbs 33, a lion which is the strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. That's in Proverbs 30:30. A lion which is the strongest of the beasts. This is the Bible. I didn't make it up. And turneth not away for any. You can't get a lion to back down too good. The lion tamers say Not that I know any, but I've been reading, okay? One of the main things you do in the ring or the arena with a lion that you have tamed and trained is you never turn your back on him. You turn your back on him, you'll be a dead man. Even though they're trained, it could snap or they could decide, I got you. You're in your weakness. And that's what the devil does. So we don't need to turn our back. Amen? We need to be careful with that. And that's why we need the whole armor of God on in our lives as well. So there's several scriptures here. This is Psalms 10, verse 9, revealing more of the nature of the lion. The Bible says there, he lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. Even though the lion's in his den, the lion den might not be a cave, it could be an area that they're in. But while you think they might just be eating or relaxing or sleeping, he's lying in wait. He's waiting. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's got plans for you. The Bible talks about the devil. You've probably heard this before, about the wiles of the devil, the devices of the devil, the plan. He's got plans for you and I on any given day or any given. I know he's not omniscient. He doesn't know all things and he cannot be everywhere. I believe he has demons that do a lot of his work. But he is powerful and he is the God of this world and he is a super powerful angelic being. He's not some little pitchfork looking dude on a can of potted meat. He's not, and he can even appear as an angel of light, which is even more diabolical. If I see him in a red suit with a pitchfork, I'm going to watch that Joe Bird. Hope your name's not Joe. But if he comes as an angel of light, he might get me. He may trick me. He may come as some smooth-talking preacher, or he might come as some a guy or a girl in some of these people's lives to he's going, oh, she's so pretty, he's so handsome, and it ended up being an angel of light. The devil sent someone to try to devour and someone try to draw you away from the things of God. That nature there is a secretiveness and a idea of seeking out and making plans that the devil connects together with the lion. He lieth in wait to catch the poor, which that means not poor in money, but poor in physical strength. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net, giving a connection that even the lion's setting traps to try to catch things. The Bible says in Amos 3, verse 8, the lion hath roared. Who will not fear? I don't know about you, if I heard a lion roar, even in this building, I know he's not supposed to be here, but I'd be finding some higher ground if I could, or a lower ground, or a gun, or something. But it'd almost be too late. They say lions many times will roar, not to get you necessarily, not that they're coming to jump right on you immediately to attack you, but they'll roar from very many miles of distance. And just sending out the roar over the domain of the territory puts fear in all the beasts out there in the jungle. And you know what happens when you get confused and you get scared and you get rattled? You start forgetting some things that you should know. You start doing things that you don't normally do. And maybe you start running in directions you shouldn't go in. And that's what the lion plans on. He rattles people and the lions start, the creatures start going around really and technically running towards where he wants them to go. He's seeking whom he may devour. He uses that roar, notifying everyone in his domain that he is there and your distance is not far enough because you can hear it. You can hear that roar. And that makes me even think about that lion and tamer boy turning my back on something like that. Wow. You ever seen those real intelligent people who stick their heads in lions' mouths and alligator mouths and stuff like that? I don't know what's going on there. Not smart. Not smart. You're tempting the Lord thy God. You're tempting the lion. You're tempting a lot of things when you do that. The book of Micah, another Old Testament book. The Bible says in Micah 5:8, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion. As a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep. That young lion is smaller and he's trying to hide. And then he's trying to learn how to jump on the sheep and take over. Now, we know that our adversary, the devil, he's not just a little lion running around. He's the king of his domain. He's very seasoned in his devices and the way he goes. But here, the nature of the lion, even the lion, the little lion, even the young lion, here's the nature it revealed. He goes through both, treadeth down, and teareth in pieces. Tears the sheep into pieces, and none can deliver. That's Micah 5:8. Can you imagine having sheep? You know that there are coyotes and things like that around here, and wolves eat other animals and attack other animals. But this would be a lion coming in, and they would be torn to pieces, and no one could deliver them. No one could save them in time. I've seen a lot of people that got devoured by the devil, and there was no way to deliver them. It was too far gone. They were too messed up. There was too much damage done. And you see those connections, those images of that in the Word of God, connected to the nature of the lion. The lion's nature is given there. So Ephesians chapter number 6 tells us this. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's his devices, his plans. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling each other. There's a spiritual warfare out there, and Satan is real, and he wants to attack us and devour us. And the Bible says we're fighting against or wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Who's the main ruler of darkness of this world? It's Satan. And he's as a roaring lion. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I believe that is real. Politically, I believe there are spiritual wicked influences in the politics of our world running a lot of things. Now, I know God's still on the throne, but he has given limited power to Satan as he is attacking and devouring and destroying things and tearing things up. Our society is not whole, church. It's not getting better and waxing better. It's waxing worse, which is the image of a candle melting away. It's not getting better. Until the Lord comes back and there is a millennial reign, we won't see peace on this earth. They're going to be crying out for it. But the devil is roaring, and he's putting fear into people. So one of the things we are supposed to do is put on the whole armor of God. And understand, remember, that lion tamer says, don't turn your back on the lion. Guess where there is no armor given in the Word of God? For your back. You're not supposed to be turning your back on the enemy. And you're not supposed to be turning from the war. You're supposed to prepare for the offense or the defense and going forward and using weapons of this warfare. There's so much given in the Scriptures about the shield of faith. And then there's the able to quench those fiery darts of the wicked. We're supposed to have all those things for defense. But that whole armor goes on with the helmet of salvation. And we're supposed to have our loins or our core girt about with truth. Truth should be the core of our life that we focus on. And the breastplate of righteousness. We should walk in a righteous manner. And our breastplate, that heart should be righteously beating and seeking and hungering after God. And the feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the gospel should be the advancement. It should be what we're walking for and walking from and walking into. We should be walking in a spiritual way. Then it says, above all, take that shield of faith, where you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Little darts coming. You know that shield of faith, Brother Donnie, I know he's preached on this before, but they would soak them in water. When those leather shields were soaked in water, when that fiery dart would come, those little small darts on fire, many times they'd be smaller arrows, it would put it out, it would extinguish it. Because they had prepared that shield ready for fiery darts. And then the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Bible reminds us we need to do all those things with all prayer. All prayer means we're not everything you're putting on, everything you're putting around your body to prepare for that battle. You put it on with prayer. Prayer is so important. Praying concerning the fact we have an adversary. And he's like a roaring lion. Now, I want to close with these thoughts here. The lion has his kingdom. He's the god of this world. He's king of the jungle, and he has his nature. But the lion also has his own adversary. I got some scripture for you if you want to turn with me to Revelation. And even if you don't want to turn with me, turn. You got your Bible. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. There's a seven sealed book in this Revelation story. Now, it's like a scroll, but it's called a book. And they're sealed with seven seals. And we preached this before. As it opens up, many apocalyptic things of judgment happen in the days of Revelation. But here, John the Revelator is envisioning all this, and he sees that this seal is there, and he saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne, being God, verse 1 there, Revelation 5:1, a book written within and on the backside. So each page had something written on both sides. He said, I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice. This could have been Michael, but we don't know. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John says in verse 4, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto him, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You know who that is? That's Jesus. Jesus is here pictured as a lion who would be an adversary if he is a more dominant lion than the other lion. I want to tell you, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the tribe of praise. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the adversary. He's more powerful than Satan. Now, I know sometimes we forget that and we get discouraged. When we hear him roar, we get rattled sometimes. I got pulled over yesterday by the police. I was speeding through here. And they're hanging out a lot right now. So be careful. This is a 25 zone. All the way down there. I was doing 37 because I thought it was a 35. I was just trickling over. But I was wrong. Anyhow, I get pulled over. They pulled a couple other people over at the same time. And I finally realized it was me that they were after. And I pulled over finally at the CVS there. And he come up and he asked me for my license and registration. And I reached in my back pocket and I couldn't find my wallet. And I'm like, oh, and I started getting rattled. So his lights and him pulling me over reminds me of a roaring lion. I'm just giving a story to you. I'm reaching in my wallet and I said, I got my registration, but I don't have my license. And I said, I've been working at the church. I must have left it at the church. And I'm just rambling on and he's just like, you know, because he knows he's got me. And he said, well, let me see your registration and your insurance card there. And I gave that to him. I said, well, I know I was at the church working. I said, wait a minute. I got gas on the bus. I know I use my debit card. And he's like, what's the craziest person I've ever met? I said, well, you let me get out of the truck and look for my wallet because I know I got it. He said, go ahead. And I get out and I realize I hadn't had a wallet in my back pocket since Joanna gave me that. Where is that? Here you go. I'll show you. Till she gave me one of these little clip wallets like this. She bought it for me on our trip in October. And I hadn't had a wallet in my back pocket in five months. But I got rattled. And I'm back there going with what I had been in my pocket for 50, 40 something years of my life. When he pulled me over, I went back to all the other times I got pulled over. I went back to all the other times I got into trouble. I reached back there for that wallet and I said, oh my goodness, it ain't there. I'm going to jail. And when the Lord said, just put your hand in your front pocket. And I said, I got it. He probably told them guys at the station about the Fruit Loop preacher up here. But I want to tell you the reason I told you that. I got rattled. He rattled me. He pulled me over. And I didn't know what I did. I didn't think I did anything. He said, you're speeding. You're going 37 to 25. Now, to me, that didn't sound too bad. But it's still the law, and I broke it. But what was going on and the siren and getting pulled over and embarrassed and all those things, it rattled me. I wasn't a cool cucumber. I mean, I was shaking. And I had it all together standing behind the steering wheel there. I said, just going to tell him, hey, I'm sorry. Whatever I did, I did. And as soon as he asked me for my license and I reached for it, it was all downhill from there. I just all shook up. So the good story that ends to it is he gave me a warning for probably felt sorry for me, what kind of condition I had been in, breaking down in front of him like I did. But anyhow, he gave me a warning, praise the Lord, and he said, you need to slow down, which I will, and I have. But it's amazing that roar or that siren roaring rattled me, and the devil uses that roaring to rattle others. But one day, Jesus is going to declare. He's going to declare multiple times. He's going to call his church home. When he calls his church out of here, there's no more church the devil's going to be able to devour. There's no more Christians the devil's going to be able to attack. They're going to be taken out. And I promise you, I'm not feeling God on this. I'm telling you, the devil's going to have his hairs stand up. He's going to get rattled. He knows what's coming. And he's going to go to that tribulation. He's going to move the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet. He's going to try to devour this world. He's going to attack Israel. He's going to do everything he can. But the Bible says in the book of Daniel, the Ancient of Days, he's coming. The Bible says here, this lion of the tribe of Judah was the only one that could take that book and break those seals and open those seals. He's the only one. And he came and he took that book, verse 7, out of the hand of God, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And I take you back to Revelation chapter number 1 and read this real quick. This lion we're talking about, the Bible says, when John saw him, he said, I fell at his feet as dead, verse 17, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, I am he that liveth and was dead. This lion becomes a lamb in chapter number 5, verse 6. Because he sees the lion and he proclaims that he can take it. And when John looks the next time, he said, I look in the midst of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Now the lion is the lamb. So are we confused? No, we know he's both. We know he's both. He died on the cross as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And when he got out of that grave, he filled his place as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. On that resurrection moment, he roared. And the devil knows his head's going to be bruised. It's a prophecy all the way back to the book of Genesis. Satan might have bruised Jesus' feet, but Jesus is going to bruise the devil's head, a head wound. And notice he's one who was dead, but is alive. Not too many people can say that, amen. So this resurrected lion who became a lamb, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Bible tells us in verse number 9, chapter 5, Revelation, they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This resurrected lion back from the dead, amen, who became a lamb, a sacrifice, gave himself. God on the third day raised him from the grave. Now we realize there's an adversary for our adversary. There's a lion who's more powerful than that lion. And I tell you, when you go through troubles during the week or the month, call on that lion. He is your advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You ever had anybody stick a dog or something on somebody else? Y'all probably done. I have never done that. All my dogs are chickens. But, or they'll bite someone when they're not supposed to, if you've ever had anybody like that. But I've been around a few dogs and a few creatures where people felt they had the command power to sick them. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that we can command Jesus to do this, but there are times you need to run to where he is and say, I can't handle him. He's too powerful for me. I'm afraid. He's rattling me. He's roaring. He's shaking me up. Lord, please put him in his place. And you know what the Holy Spirit's going to teach us to do in that moment? Use the Word of God. His Word is the power. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And Satan will just move on to the next thing. And Satan did leave him for a season. And he came back and tempted him sometime later down the line. But he was resisted and moved on for a while when Jesus used the Word of God. We have a real adversary. He has character and nature like a lion, which means we can't handle him. We do have a lion of the tribe of Judah as our Savior. And we can trust Him and look to Him, and His nature, His character teaches us to use the Word of the living God in resistance and power. The armor of God to be able to stand in the evil day that you and I are living in. I wish I could tell you that this is heaven on earth already and you're going to go out there and have no problem. But you may go out there and get your head knocked off. The devil hates us. He hates believers. He hates what we're doing tonight. Do you think he enjoyed me exposing him tonight? He don't like that. The Word of God exposes him. So as you think about that, say, hey, I'm not turning my back on that guy. I'm not turning my back on the devil. And if you've got family that you know that are in backslidden condition or in a dangerous situation, you need to try to get them further in. Amen. Get them closer in to the tribe. Get them closer in. Invite them. Hold them accountable. Pray for them. Encourage them. And lead them as believers. Because those on the outskirts, those who are getting weak, those who are getting further away from the middle of the group, that's the ones he seeks. That's the one he devours. That's the one he tears to pieces. And there's no remedy for it. That's the ones where it's just too late. And we've seen those casualties of war. And I don't want you to become one. And I don't want to become one. Even some of the oldest here in our group. If you stopped reading your Bible, got away from God, started drifting out, you could go down that same line. Listen, many times the older, slower ones, he tries to devour. Thank God for the strength, the joy of the Lord for believers. Even though you might be a senior saint, might be 80 years old, you've got strength and joy in you and power in you. And he strengthens you and guides you. And you're not on the outskirts or the edges. You're not a place of easy prey. So stay close to God because there's a real adversary out there. And he's likened unto a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you, Lord, that we know you are the lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the lion that John saw, and then the next scene he sees you as a lamb. And we know, Lord, you are that resurrected lion, that Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to stay close to you. Lord, the closer we are to you, we know that devil's not going to devour us. He's not going to be able to attack us, Lord, quite the same. But those roars do rattle us, especially when we get farther away from you. Help us to stay close. Help us to draw nigh to you. If we draw nigh to you, you said you draw nigh to us. Help us to get close. Help this revival upcoming. And Lord, the weeks before that, God, us to be seeking you and trying to get closer to you. And give us strength, God, to walk for you and live for you in this evil, dark day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.